Money talks.
But so do we. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Daniel.
And we're your friends with tax benefits. We're here to sound off about write-offs,
to get wise about wealth building,
and to take the taboo out of tax talk.
We work at TurboTax, so obviously, this is what we love to talk about.
But we're not here to replace your accountant.
In each episode, we'll share our own personal opinions, advice, and jokes about all things financial.
What we won't do is share any opinions on behalf of Intuit, TurboTax, their brands, or employees.
The lawyers made you say that, huh, Lauren?
So stop scrolling on Tax Talk, tell your CPA you'll call them back later, and let's talk tax, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Friends with Tax Benefits. I'm Lauren Thomas, and I'm joined by my fabulous co-host, Daniel Thrall. Hey, Daniel.
Nice to see you, Lauren. What are we talking about today?
Today, we're getting into first-time tax filing. Do you remember that?
Heck yes. Tiny studio apartment in Capitol Hill in Seattle, and I did it on paper.
On paper.
But at that time, I remember two things that were nice about it was, one, I always expected a refund, and I generally got one, which was cool. But it was so uncomplicated. I just got one form, or maybe I had two jobs during the year, and I just had to pop a couple of numbers down. So it seemed a lot easier when I was starting than it does now. What about you? What was your first tax filing? Do you remember that?
I feel like my first several years of filing taxes were just rough. I had a full ride to college, was working multiple jobs, and making little to no money. And I remember one of my first times, I took my taxes to a tax preparer to get some help. And he looked at my annual salary, and it was about $15,000. And he said, well, that's not very much money.
Well, duh. Thank you.
So yeah, I think I always waited to the last minute, and I felt so much anxiety about getting my taxes done on time and getting them right. So, you know, looking back, I think it was less complex than my taxes these days. But at the time, it didn't feel that way. It felt really confusing and super complicated.
Well, I think I know somebody who might also be going through a similar situation to exactly that. And it's our guest today. Can you introduce who we're talking to today, Lauren?
Yes, I'm really excited about our guest today. For us, Daniel walked down memory lane with someone going through this for the very first time. So our first guest is Edgar Gutzinzi, and he's a 22-year-old in the entertainment industry, just landed his first full-time dream job after a few awesome internships. And this year, he filed his taxes for the very first time. So I was reading a bit about you, and it's really awesome, Edgar. I think you've had really a couple of dream internships and now a dream job.
Yeah. It's been quite like the experience.
That's awesome. So you got your first full-time job and you went through filing taxes for the first time. What was that like for you?
Well, my mom, she called me and she's like, oh my gosh, you have to file. Because like before she was claiming me. So she was like, now you have to file. And she was saying like, go find like an account preparer, like a tax filer, like someone to do it for me. Cause she was worried that I would do something wrong. So I was like Googling like tax, like accountant near me, like just rant, like things, something that could get me on the right path to like be able to file my taxes. And I eventually stumbled upon the IRS website and they had free websites where you could file. So that's where I ended up filing my taxes. And it was almost like too easy. I felt like I was kind of being tricked. I was like, is this supposed to be like, I'm just like inputting like the numbers, it's doing the math for me. Like, it said like, I'm getting like this amount of money, like from, and then I was like, I also had to Google like, okay, like I'm in New York, like, but I'm like from Michigan. I was like, do I have to pay Michigan taxes? Do I have to pay New York taxes? Well, like where, like what state am I filing in? So like, that was like another thing involved with that. But honestly, I felt like there was more, pressure around it, but the entire process was more like smooth than I thought it would be. So I was like, okay, like it literally took me like one night and like I had like a couple internships. Like I think I had like two or three internships that I'd put on there. So it was just like adding up all of the numerous jobs that I had. And then I thought it would be like a lot more work, but it was honestly super painless.
Okay, so Edgar, you did it one time. You made it through filing your taxes for the very first time ever. And what did you learn from that process?
So, like, I definitely learned that it's just, like, not what I thought it was. It's, like, super simple. There's so many resources out there that are available to, like, first-time tax filers. Those are, like, the two big takeaways.
So I'm also curious, as you know, you're in the working world now, and every paycheck, there's money withheld from your paycheck for taxes. And I'd love to know, have you thought about or researched how much taxes are withheld from your paycheck and what that means for your tax refund or your taxes this tax season?
Yeah, so it's based off how many dependents you claim. And I've never really, like, researched the math that goes into, like, how much they take away and, like the difference in states, like, coming from, like, Michigan to New York and, like, the difference in taxes that I would pay as I'm, like, working in these different states. Like, I haven't, like, honestly done my research. And, like, now I'm like, wow, like, maybe I should do my research on, like, what is being taken out of my check each week.
Is that something that you would be interested in learning about and understanding? Or is it kind of like, surprise, what comes at the end of the year? Let me just go through this super easy process and get my, you know, get that refund.
I haven't really, like, thought about that because I didn't even know that those were, like, the kind of, like, the two options, like, having more in your paycheck now to get a smaller refund later versus, like, yeah.
And so maybe that's something that we'll ask our tax pro, who's going to come in for the second half of this episode, is how would somebody go in and say, I actually would like some more money in my paycheck, but I don't want to owe at the end of the year. How would somebody do that to try to balance it out? Because you can, but at least you know that this is something you can adjust, you know, whether it's retirement, taxes, et cetera.
One thing I'm excited about for you, Edgar, is that you are already contributing to a 401k, right, which is a retirement vehicle. And one of the main differences between a 401k and a Roth IRA is that the dollars you contribute to a 401k are pre-tax dollars. So that means that you're not paying taxes on them right now. You will pay taxes on them when you withdraw them at retirement age. And one cool thing about that is it actually reduces the amount of your taxable income, which is also a way to help you possibly get a bigger refund when you file, because it means that's less money that you're paying taxes on this year.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And there is a cap on both the amount you can contribute every year to both a 401k and a Roth IRA. So one cool thing is that those caps did increase for this tax year. So starting in 2023, you can actually contribute a bit more, both to a 401k and a Roth IRA, which is, to me, something that's really exciting.
Yeah. And to your point, Lauren, so imagine that you hit your cap for your 401k. You know, you can say, okay, cool, I've hit my cap for 401k, and let me switch to doing a Roth IRA now because I've hit that cap. And so I'm going to go hit the cap for a Roth IRA at that point. Or, you know, so it's cool. And to think about where you are right now and all of the learning that you're doing and kind of setting yourself up to be financially stable in the future. I did not contribute to a 401k until I was much older than you. So,
yeah, I feel like there's maybe movement to be, like, I guess, like, financially sound or, like, in tune with yourself. Like, a lot of young influencers I'm seeing are really, like, focused on, like, career, finance, and it's really, like, inspiring or, like, motivating. Like, okay, like, I need to get on my, like, personal finance journey.
Well, it's interesting to me too. I had not even heard of a Roth IRA when I was your age. And I think because there's so much information and so many easy ways to access it, right, you're aware of all these vehicles for savings, for investing, for adjusting your tax outcome that I think people of previous generations had to do so much more research to get access to. I have multiple physical books on budgeting and personal finances, and I still hadn't heard about some of these things too much later in my life. Even if you're not ready to act on it now, right, you can still start laying a foundation to start investing in more vehicles as you learn more, as you grow in your career. I think that's really exciting for you.
Well, Edgar, I'd love spending time with you today and getting to know you and hearing about everything that you're learning and the exciting career and financial journey you're on. So thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Yes, it's been such a joy for me. I am so excited for you and your career. I wish you all the best. I think you've got a dream job, and I'm sure you've got a really bright road ahead of you. And I love how proactive you are in learning about your finances and taking control of your financial well-being. So thanks for spending time with us today and sharing your story, Edgar.
Thank you, Daniel and Lauren, for having me. It's been a pleasure. And yeah, I've definitely learned. I'm walking away, like, learning new things. I'm going to look into opening my Roth IRA account. So definitely, like, this is a stepping stone right here. So thank you.
I am excited to welcome Maria Gomez to the podcast this afternoon as our tax expert of the day. Maria is an expert based in Las Vegas, Nevada. As you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, except for Maria's help with your taxes. And she's really passionate about working with people who are brand new to filing their taxes. Maria, do you remember your first time filing taxes?
Oh my gosh, do I remember? I do. I was in high school and I had already a part-time job while I was going to school, and I remember I was like, do I even have to file a tax return? And it turned out that I wasn't required to file a tax return, but it wasn't my benefit. Because when I fill out my famous W-4 that we all get when we are first hired, I didn't know really how to fill it out. So I just fill it out, right? And so I did have federal withholdings, and I could have elected, because I was going to have just so little income, I could have elected to be exempt so that they wouldn't have taken any federal and state withholdings. But I didn't know that. So they had withholdings. And for my benefit of filing, any of those withholdings came back to me as a refund. And so a lot of times people that are filing for the very first time, that's their main question. Do I even have to file a tax return if I made 5,000, if I made 7,000? And for most cases, if that's the only income that you have, and if it is earned income, then more than likely, you're not going to be required to file a tax return. But it would be in your best interest to still file a tax return in order for you to get a refund based on your federal and state withholdings.
Can you help us break down what is a W-4, what does it mean for your taxes, and then how might you adjust that W-4 to either get a bigger refund or a bigger paycheck throughout the year?
Well, the W-4 is the form that you usually will use to provide to your employer when you're first hired. And this W-4 can be extremely simple and might get a little bit complicated depending on each tax situation. For example, if you're single and you don't have dependents and you only have one job, then your W-4 is going to be extremely straightforward and you will be done within 1 minute or two. But if you marry filing jointly, the spouse is also working and each of you have like 2-3 jobs, and then you have a dependent or 3 dependents and you're qualifying for refundable credits, then that W-4 may get a little bit more complicated, even though it's like just 2 pages. But that being said, each situation is different. And so, for example, for Edgar, he is single, no dependents, so it's going to be very straightforward. Now, what if Edgar says, well, Maria, you know what? I don't want to have any extra withholdings, and I don't mind not having a refund at the end of the year. What should I do? Well, in that particular case, you just want to have just what you need to have in withholdings on that W-4. But let's say that it's still the same situation. Edgar has one employer, no dependents, single. But he is like, Maria, guess what? I'm not good at saving at all. What is it that I can do with my W-4 to maybe have a refund or a higher refund? And so what Edgar could do, or anyone can do, is that there's actually a section on that W-4. And the question is, would you like to have extra withholdings per paycheck? So let's say that Edgar actually wants that extra refund, then he elects to have $30 taken out. And let's say that there's, you know, 42 weeks of the year. So the 30 times the 52, automatically at the end of the year, he's going to have an additional refund of about $1,500. So ding, ding.
I guess I'm just trying to think from the perspective of a new person, you know, how do they even know or can they predict what the end of the year will bring? Because I think it's for me for years, it was like, well, how dang, that's $2,000. And I have no clue how that's derived. That's my main question for people who are trying to plan for what to expect for what they're going to get at the end of the year.
Definitely. There's a simple way that I see it. So usually single filers with no dependents, more than likely, they're just having almost enough withholdings for them to pretty much have a small refund or have no refund or even a tiny, a small balance due. So for most of the time, for single filers, no dependents, more than likely, they will not have a big refund. And if you're single and you don't have dependents, and then suddenly you have a refund of $3,000, then maybe you answer something incorrectly. Now, stay with that same example. And the main thing is that you're not going to be qualifying more than likely for any credits or refundable credits. And so what is taken into consideration, it's going to be your income. So let's say that you may $20,000. And from that $20,000, you had $2,000 in withholding. So let's say that was just an easy one, 10% from the wages, right? And so the next thing you're going to have to take into consideration, the next factor, it's going to be the standard deduction. The standard deduction is based on your filing status, which is either you're single, you're married, filing joint, married, filing separate, qualifying widow, or head of household. So your standard deduction for someone that is single. Now, this amount changes every year. No year is the same. It usually increases a little bit, not too much, but it does. So for example, let's say that the standard deduction for the example that they were single and it was $12,550. Okay. So then we will take the $20,000 minus the standard deduction. And then what is left, that's going to be subject to income tax. The first part, it's going to be, we have brackets, right? So it's going to be either 10%, 50%, and then they will be paying taxes on what is left after.
Maria, for those of us who are filing our taxes for the very first time, what are the key forms that they need to have to get ready to get their taxes done?
All right. So for those that are filing for the first time, the most common forms would be their W-2. And so if you are an employee, you work for a company, then you will more than likely receive a W-2. And this is sent usually by January 31st. And the other one that would be common for someone that it's filing for the first time, maybe you have a savings account or a checking account and it's building a little bit of interest. So in that case, you may receive a 1099 INT and that would be for interest. Now, if you have a savings account and you didn't have more than $10 on an interest for that account, then you may not receive a form because the bank will not be required to send that form. Then the next one would be if you have investments, then you may receive a 1099B. But if there's no investments, then you don't have to worry about that. If you have a 401k with your company, then that information will show on your W-2 Fax 12 with a code. And you would usually also receive another form, but that would be more for your personal records.
Maria, thank you so much for breaking that down for us. For those of us listening, we are going to include a checklist of tax forms in the show notes, so be sure to check that out.
So I know that first-time filers, you know, can start filing their taxes as young as their teenage years, but I don't know when it would be to their advantage to stay on their parents' tax return. or to file on their own. And so how do people navigate when they should file on their own or stay on their parents' return?
That is a great question. And it's not a simple answer depending on the tax situation. But if you are younger than 24 and you are a full-time student, you may still qualify as a dependent on your parents' return. But this will not prevent you from you also filing a return. Now, it will be extremely important for the dependent to make sure that they answer the correct questions, because they have to mark that they will be dependents of someone else. In this case, it would be their parents. But let's say that a parent is trying to determine when can they no longer claim their son or daughter. So we talked about age. Age is a factor. And then another big factor, it's income. So at what point does your child, because your child can still have a part-time job and may qualify as your dependent. So at what point the income that he's making make disqualify him to be your dependent? And the answer is, if at the point that your dependent makes or support more than 50% of their for themselves, then at that point, that child will no longer qualify as a dependent. And then that would be the time where that dependent may file their own tax return as their own person.
Maria, one thing we were chatting with Edgar about is his retirement contribution. So he's starting to contribute to his 401k for retirement. He's considering contributing to a Roth IRA. Would you break down for us, what does contributing to a retirement account like a 401k or a Roth mean for your taxes?
It will depend on your company, what is it that they offer. So they either can offer a Roth 401k or a traditional 401k. The main difference is, when would you like to pay taxes on this money? So with the Roth 401k, once you have the distributions and once you're 59 and a half and you meet all of the requirements, then you wouldn't have to pay taxes on that money. But the 401k, the traditional 401k, when you're doing your contributions, it's before you pay taxes. So when you do your distributions, then that money is going to be subject to tax. Now, that's 401ks.
Right. I love this. So a 401k is a company-sponsored retirement account, right? So whether it's a 401k or a Roth 401k, those are retirement accounts that you may be able to enroll in through your company, right? And there's also the IRAs, which are individual retirement accounts, which you can also set up on your own, even if you're not working for a company that has a company-sponsored retirement savings plan, right?
Correct. Yes.
There's two things that I want to ask here. What receipts do I need to keep track of? And for people who, for example, only, you know, go to the doctor and spend $100 over the course of the year, well, you know, at what threshold is it important? If you don't meet a certain threshold in terms of how much you spend in these various categories, do I need to keep receipts for them? So could you tell me that? Because that seems daunting too, to keep track of that throughout the year.
If you're filing a return, and more than likely, you're going to go ahead and use the standard deduction. So if you are using the standard deduction, then you do not have to keep track of those expenses. But if you are not using the standard deduction and you're actually going to itemize or qualify to itemize, so in that case, you are required to keep track of those records. And it was a great example, as you mentioned. This could be medical. Now, let's take into consideration when it comes to medical expenses. You have to keep track. But when it comes to medical expenses, is connected to if the medical expenses were 7.5% more of your adjusted gross income. And so if you're not going to meet those requirements, then again, if you're not itemizing, then you can save yourself the hassle and you might not need to keep records of that. But if you are itemizing, you do have to keep records.
And Maria, I know that you get so excited about helping first-time filers. If you could leave people with one takeaway, what is the best piece of advice you have for folks who are filing their taxes for the very first time this tax season?
The one recommendation would be to actually keep track of your records, because you don't know if you're going to be able to qualify for the extended deduction or the itemized deduction if it is the first time that you actually file in. So keeping track of your records and keeping a folder as you're receiving those forms, have a folder where you're going to be keeping your records through the year so that you're ready when it's time to file.
Thank you. And for those of us who have no idea what you mean when you say standard versus itemized deductions, can you break that down for us?
So the itemized deduction is the opportunity for you to take expenses that are allowed by the IRS. And if these expenses are higher than your standard deduction, then you may be better off of taking the itemized deduction. Now, let's talk about a little bit. What are those expenses that you keep talking about when you say itemized deduction? Allowable expenses by the IRS to take into consideration for the itemized deduction is mortgage, interest, points, property taxes, medical expenses, if they are the 7.5% more of your adjusted gross income. And that is just a few examples of the things that you can take as an expense for your itemized deduction.
Thanks for that. So the bottom line, right, is that the IRS says everyone paying taxes, you all can deduct the standard deduction from everything you've earned. So you're not paying taxes on what the standard deduction would be from your income. But if you have expenses that are greater than the standard deduction, you could do what's called itemizing it, which might get you a bigger deduction if you have real IRS expenses that you can itemize, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Maria, thank you so much for joining us today. We've really appreciated your insights and expertise and your passion for all things taxes. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It has been my pleasure being with you guys today. And let's go ahead and have an amazing tax season.
Let's do it. I've learned so much from walking down memory lane and revisiting my first time filing taxes, and hope that everyone listening has learned a lot too. Thank you so much to our first guest, Edgar Gutsinzi, for joining us to share his experience, and Maria Gomez. Thank you all so much for your insights and your perspective and enthusiasm for all things taxes. Be sure to subscribe on Spotify and Apple Podcasts to stay tuned for the next episode of Friends with Tax Benefits. See you next time, Daniel.
Bye, Lauren. Thanks. Friends with Tax Benefits is an Intuit TurboTax podcast presented by TurboTax Studios and made in partnership with Frequency Media. We're your hosts, Daniel Thrall.
And I'm Lauren Thomas. From Intuit TurboTax, Jane Lahani is our executive producer and Tony Melenda is our video producer.
From Frequency Media, Jordan Rizzieri is our producer. Emily Krumberger is our associate producer and Matthew Ernest Filler is our editor and sound designer.
Concept development by Jessica Olivier, Jill Pachesnik, and Isabel Moncloa Daly.
This podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and wherever podcasts are found.